each of you here this morning. And we'd like to just say we're in between raindrops right now, so you're in good shape. And also for you, we have a couple of cards in the front pews, and we'd like to have you be able to fill those out during the middle part of the service by then, if you can make sure those are filled out. For those of you who are visiting with us today, we welcome you, but we also invite you to fill those cards out. One is for prayers, and we ask of our members and our visitors, if you have any prayer requests, please fill that out. And also the second card is just to let us know you're here. Also, if you could fill that out and make sure and give us your contact information. At this time, would you please stand and welcome one another? Praying this morning in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us now confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God has given his own Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and their praise, Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty God, as your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, ascended into the heavens, so may we also ascend in heart and mind and continually dwell there with him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Dan, the readings may be a little bit different than might be in the order of service, so I think it's correct up there. The Old Testament reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 1. In this first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them, he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you do this at this time, restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading of the epistle is from Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly place, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
this time, we'd like to have our first of two confirmands, Zachary, come forward and read his essay. And then after that, Brennan, you will read yours after the gospel lesson before we sing the hymn of the day. So if you would be aware of that, and Zach, come on up. Tell us who you are right up here. Make sure the microphone, you can see it, and speak right into it. Thank you. Zachary?
My name is Zachary Kendall. I play baseball, so that's what I pretty much base it on. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. This single Bible verse states why you should always believe and always have hope. I know from baseball you must believe and hope just like God wants us to. When you play baseball, it is a team sport, which means you have to believe that you and your teammates can win together, not alone. If you don't believe, then you will not have success. You will fail over and over and over again. Just like in the Bible verse, it tells us that if we believe, we will have eternal life. Another Bible verse that proves hope is Deuteronomy 31:6, which states, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord goes, your God goes with you." This verse is similar because it tells us that we can do all things with God. So why is there any point to be afraid? He is walking with you, so why be afraid of anything? I think these two verses work well with each other because God gave his only Son to die for us, and he can walk with you and guide you in the right ways of life. When I hear the word believe or hope, the Bible verse I turn to is Philippians 4:13, which says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." This means you can do all things with him. He will guide you in the future into his kingdom ever since you were baptized until you get to heaven. This verse really goes along with hope and beliefs because it teaches us that people can do everything with God and he will strengthen you as you walk the way to heaven. This verse also tells you that if you believe in him, then you will be walking with him. God will be alongside you, guiding you in the best way possible. When you play baseball, you have to make plays with people and make team decisions. This verse relates because you and God have to make decisions just like you and your coach have to. Another thing I turn to when I hear the beliefs is the Lord's Prayer. I turn to this because it shows how people want God to forgive our sins. When it says, "Forgive our trespasses," this shows how we want God to forgive us and lead us in the right way so we will then go to heaven, which is a huge part of our beliefs, because all of us one day want to go to heaven. Another prayer I turn to is the Apostles' Creed, which shows how God sent his only Son to die for us, to forgive our sins. When it says he was crucified, died, and was buried, this proves that he was treated horrible just so that we could have our sins forgiven. These two prayers go along with each other because the Lord's Prayer asks for forgiveness while the Apostles' Creed grants you forgiveness. If you haven't realized, all these verses and prayers have a common theme. God will walk with you everywhere you go, and he will strengthen you and make you live the best life now and forever, heaven and earth. I chose these verses because they mean something more than words. They mean God will help you and lead you from one day until the end. Just remember, God will walk with you everywhere you go. Just like in baseball, you don't know what pitch is coming or where the ball will be hit. In life, good things or bad things, you have to believe for the better and not for the worse. Kind of like these verses, God makes your future, and he will lead you in the right way, heaven.
You might just guess that he liked baseball. I did too. Now, I went to the White Sox tryout camp. Did you hear the story yet? There's three things I couldn't do and one I should. They said I couldn't run, hit, or throw the ball well enough for them. And I should definitely find a different career. I want you to know the Lord has been good and gracious to me in my life and my love for baseball, but also he's called me to a very high, high calling. I just want to say that for you, thank you for sharing your faith with us and your story. I have a question for you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? Can you say it to the people?
Yes, sir.
These folks have been praying for you. Were you baptized here at Trinity?
No, sir.
How long ago were you baptized?
I was baptized May 15, 2004.
May 15, 2004. That's been over 14 years almost. just about right now. And so people have been praying for you and seeing you grow and mature and become a young man. And you got your whole life ahead of you. And I want you to know the prayers of your church, your family here, are with you the rest of your life. And that as you serve Jesus, you're not graduating. You're just beginning the journey with Jesus here. Okay? We want you to serve. We want you to plug in and be a part of our ministry here. Okay? We welcome him again and say thank you. Good job. We invite the congregation to please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. And then you. The Holy Gospel for this, the Sunday, Luke chapter 24, the Ascension service. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord. We invite our next essayist to come forward, and the congregation may be seated, and after that we'll have our hymn of the day. Okay, we are ready for Brendan Kohler. Are you excited to do this?
Not really.
Not really? That's good when you're at church, always tell the truth. And even when you're at home.
My name is Brennan Kohler. I attend Sunridge Middle School in Winter Garden, Florida. I was born on September 21st, 2004. I have always taken every possible opportunity to better my life, and today is another step forward toward my future. I believe in true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The true God does not let you live in darkness of sin. The true God speaks and teaches only the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. God says only what you need to hear, that you might repent and be saved, and not that you feel good about yourself or find momentary fulfillment. Our Heavenly Father is like a earthly father in the sense that he guides you through life. As the Son, Jesus Christ is the Savior promised in the Old Testament. I believe that the Holy Spirit is something that guides me to do the right thing and achieve goals, to bless me through a long life, long healthy life, good job, but especially good faith. Today they are together they are as one God and three divine persons. Like an egg, it has a shell, a yolk, and egg white. Each are egg, yet only one egg. I believe in baptism. Baptism purifies and washes away our sins, and we are welcome into God's heavenly family, and it consists of washing away our sins. I was baptized on October 17th, 2004 by Pastor Barton. Lord's Supper forgives our sins and forgives, and forgiveness is granted to us. I participate in Holy Communion because it reminds me of Jesus Christ. The true body and blood of Christ are presented in the form of bread and wine. The Lord's Prayer is thanking Jesus Christ for keeping me alive for one more day and blessing me with no injuries or illnesses. When I am participating in Lord's Prayer, I am asking Jesus to keep me as his own son. I also need Jesus to guide me through the stresses and difficulties of life. I believe Lord's Prayer is important and absolutely necessary to do. I believe in the creation of the universe. On the first day, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. On the second day, God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters and separate water from water." He called the expanse sky and the water water, and the water sea. On the third day, God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. On the fourth day, God said, "Let there be light, lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night." On the fifth day, God said, Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly across the expanse of the sky. On the sixth day, God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their various kinds. God also stated, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the birds in the sky, and let the fish of the sea. On the seventh day, God rested. I believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was born in a small stable because there was not enough room in the inn. Jesus had died for our sins, and on the third day, he rose to sit on the right hand of God, the Father, Almighty King of heaven and earth. It is important to me because when Jesus died on the cross, he showed all of his love toward us. He also forgave me of my sins and conquered death and the grave for me. My Christian faith is strengthened me by attending church, taking Lord's Supper, and remembering daily my baptism, and reading my Bible and praying. By doing all of these things, I learned more about the things he did for us, which is impossible to count up to. I think I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. This verse is important to me because it means I can accomplish whatever I want because I will be guided by Christ.
Good job. How'd you feel about that?
Nervous.
Nervous? Yeah. Are you glad you threw it?
Yeah.
Okay. Want to point your mom and dad out?
My mom's over there.
Okay. And who are these two guys next to her?
That's my brother, Quinn. He was in the room. He actually just came home a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
And that's my brother, Harrison, over there.
Okay. Well, good. Glad, good-looking family.
Thank you.
Glad to have you guys with us, and you bet you're proud of your son, too. And I'd just like to ask you a quick question. You already heard it. But is Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior? Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job. We now join in the hymn of the day.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon every one of you this very day. Our text is taken from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, beginning with verses 1 through 9. Again, pew Bibles are just in front of you. Please, I invite you to follow along with me there. Once again, 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. This stewardship campaign and themes for our 4 weeks, this being the second, is giving from a heart touched and motivated by God. Today we'll be talking and learning about giving like a Macedonian. And if you don't know what a Macedonian is, we'll try and tell you in a bit of time here. Paul writes in verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, "We want you, brothers, to know about the grace of God that has been given to among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." You might say the text and the background for all of this, that the Christian church was still a baby, barely in its infancy, when the Christian churches collectively had found out about the suffering of the Christians who were in Judea, and that the saints were there starving because of the great affliction due to a famine. It was also that the Macedonian churches were among the poorest of the poor, and they were, due to harsh economic conditions imposed by the Roman government, suffering greatly. This church, Paul speaks of affectionately and speaks of their great generosity, even despite their greater poverty. You know, Trinity is also a congregation which just a few short months ago, we certainly would have said some of the conditions seemed harsh. We have a 100-year history, which is great, nearly 100 years old. We have been a mother church and a sister congregation of several congregations throughout the Orlando area. And sometimes when a mother gives birth, it seems like after several children, the mother gets weaker and weaker and less able to take care of even her own needs. Also, when we started to look at the fact that this congregation here at Trinity also went through nearly a 3-year vacancy. As one member put it to me, "Pastor, we are a congregation rich in history, but a congregation that is rebuilding and has a bright future under the blessing of Almighty grace of God." Paul begins this section of Scripture really saying, "We want you to know about the grace of God and how through others the body of Christ helped." I think of Trinity in that way, and I think back just a few short months ago about the intentional interim pastors that served you here at Trinity, pastors such as Pastor Zender and Pastor Martin, pastors who filled your pulpit also, such as Pastor Glander, and Pastor also Schaefer and Pastor Schroeder. Your services and your ministries continued. Your meetings still occurred and happened. God's people were fed and cared for thanks to the good and faithful leadership of this congregation. The Spirit of Almighty God was stirring in your midst as you awaited the arrival of some guy, some person that would be called to fill this pulpit. You are keenly aware of God's grace in this place. You see the hand of God in the midst and in the ministry in the lives of people. In the lives of this membership, God is with you, Trinity, and you've seen that time and time again. How did God's people in Macedonia respond? They gave. Here's what Paul says: they gave according to their means, and I can testify they gave beyond their means, and they did it of their own accord. And they begged us also for the favor of participating in this special offering to relief given to the saints of Judea. You see, the saints of Trinity and the saints of Macedonia gave. You have given they had given according to their own means and beyond. They did it of their own accord, and they did it begging for the favor. Throughout the next 3 weeks, you will be given continued opportunity to support the work of the Lord here at Trinity and around the world, I might add. It is through the mutual ministry together that we are doing, that our members, our school, our children, and yes, the families and the people of this community and people across our Florida, Georgia district, as well as the nation and around the world, will be reached through the work of Jesus Christ, through what you and I do to support this holy ministry. It is hoped that you will be generous. You will support God's work here with your tithes and your offerings, and will carry on the rich legacy of ministry and the love that you and I had and our predecessors had as they paid forward to establish this congregation nearly 100 years ago. To purchase this property, nearly 5 acres of it, and to build and to be able to build on the buildings of a legacy that they have had, have creating a school and initiating it, and then a child development center. Your support also joins the work of our district and support of our Senate around the world. Our CDC is nearly full to capacity, and our K-8 is now enrolling and praying for 112 students next year. God is at work. We haven't all arrived at all of these goals, but I want you to know that as we look at the 4 plumb lines that we started with, when I first took this pulpit, I shared with you the 4 plumb lines, how to keep things straight, moving in the right direction together. I said that discipleship is job one, and it is our one job. I said that connecting relationships for our school and our church must be built upon. I said that connecting with our community is also a must. And finally, aligning all of our resources, people, building, finances, and ministries to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Campus Development Task Force has recently re-energized. And that's one of the things that they have done besides talking about renovating buildings, which will become a future funding stream for this congregation, for future ministries. Our staff offices will be relocated to the other side of campus so that we're all together in one location. Pastoral staff, school staff, as well as financial staff. We'll also be seeing that we will be focusing on bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to our church and our school and our membership in creative ways, transforming ways that will impact families and church and school and children in creative ways that our parents and neighbors and our visitors, but most importantly, our membership. We want our faith relationships to grow with Jesus Christ for everyone. A lot of pastors pray for more people in the pews. I'm glad to see that's happening. But my real prayer is that we'll see more people in heaven, more souls seated in the heavenly realms because of our joint work that we will be doing here together of going and make disciples who will make disciples. Did you know that today 40% of the people in this county claim no religious affiliation? Are you aware that today fewer than 1 in 5 people will actually be in a worship service throughout Orange County? That number is actually 18%. I bet you know someone who makes up that statistic. Is it your daughter or your son? Is it your spouse, a mother or a father? Is it a coworker? You and I have much work to do. Because if Jesus were to return today, we would have to give him an account of the hope that is within us. It is only and always in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gospel message is the one that he's left for us to share with the world that needs him more desperately now than forevermore. As you and I start to look at this, Paul continues talking of the Macedonians. He says, they surprised us. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. Where does stewardship begin? Well, somebody would probably say, well, in your wallet. No. Stewardship begins with the relationship to Jesus Christ. It's a response to the love of Jesus, yes. But it first begins with that relationship that lets you know that you and Jesus are, that He is your Lord and your Savior. That all-important question that I asked each of our confirmants, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And they each said yes. And that's the same question that you need to answer. Because the Macedonians, what we first learned from is that they first gave themselves to the Lord. This is not about your wallet. It's about your heart and your soul, won from the darkness of sin and given over to serving the Lord and Savior Jesus. The Macedonians saw the situation, but they first saw God in them. They knew what He had done in their lives, and they were now willing to also see the opportunity that was before them, and they begged to be a part of it. The second thing we learned from the Macedonians is that once they were convinced of the opportunity for ministry and saw God in it, they excelled. They gave more than Paul predicted. They did more than was expected. They simply responded out of the love and the relationship that they had with Jesus Christ. Do you see the hand of God in what's going on around Trinity here these days? I recently talked with several mission planters before I left my position at the district. And I said to them, how many of you can look at your ministry and see God at work in them? Places that He's touched. And I called it, I said, do you see the fingerprints of God all over your ministry? And we started to share stories about that. And when I looked over the past 6 months here at Trinity, I sent you a letter to let you know what I had seen of our joint work together. And what I saw was that I saw the fingerprints of God touching lives, touching people, touching ministries, touching this community through the work here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School. And how God was working things through you and me as His vessels. I saw His fingerprints all over our lives. Answered prayers, things that were going on, things are yet to come about. You and I might be asking the question still, however, why? Why should I? Paul says, I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love of Christ is also genuine. Paul talks about a response, not as a command, but as an opportunity to respond, to show the genuineness of your love. And the fourth thing that we learn is that for now you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, by His poverty, might become rich. Think of it. Jesus Christ, though He was the Son of God, left heaven and came to this world to live a perfect life in your place and in the place of mine also, because I and you were unable to do so. And if that wasn't enough, He further impoverished Himself, taking upon Himself my sins and your sins, paying the price upon Calvary's cross for them. And through the shedding of His own blood, our sins have been paid for, yours and mine. I pause to ask you, have you ever received a bill that was so big you just didn't know how you could ever in the world pay for it? I remember one time that the district office, I was brand new pretty much in my position, and I had made the bold claim that, well, we're going to have this conference and it's being held at this church, and if you want to have an evening with the presenter before all the other churches and everyone gets to participate, if you want to have a special showing, why don't we get together? The district will help pay, or will pay for this meal and this time with Ken Bankin, our presenter. Well, I told them, I'm going to be delayed. I won't be there quite at the beginning, so go ahead and start the celebration in the evening together without me. Well, they really did. They started opening the wine bottles, table after table, and person after person, and I started to look at all of that when I got there, and I said, toast, bon appetit, and we did the dining. And we ate, and we were full, and we had a great evening, and talked late into the, throughout a few hours. Then the waiter brought the bill. To me, of course. I'd said, I'll take care of it. I looked at it and it was over $600. And that's what I said, wow. And instead of just saying wow right there at the table, I went to the restroom and I was sitting and I was standing. I looked at it and I said, what in the world am I going to do? $600, is this right? I itemized everything, and I kind of went through the table. I looked at what people were doing. And I said, wow, $600. And I took care of it. I put it on the card, and I was thankful it went through. And then I started to also look at what I was going to do when I took the bill into the office. I put it on my assistant's desk. And her eyes got big when she saw it. And she said, wow. I don't think anybody's ever had that big of a bill around here. And then she looked at me and she said, I've always wanted to eat there. Was it good? Luckily, the congregation that really was hosting it said, we'll help. I want you to know, what would we do we saw the bill for the size of our sins? You know, even one sin, the Bible tells us, makes us guilty enough to go to hell and to suffer an eternal damnation, separated from God and all of His goodness. One sin. And I have many. I'm certain you do too. That's a bill that you and I could not afford to pay. And what do we do with that? We take a big gulp and we listen and we hear our Lord and our Savior saying to us, God so loved the world that He gave me, Jesus' words, so that if you will believe in me, Jesus says, you will not perish but have everlasting life. I'll take your sins. I'll pick up the tab. I'll pay it all in full. No, 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 no. God doesn't take Visa, you know. He doesn't take the blood of goats or bulls. He'll only take my blood to pay the price of our sins. And not only that, He pays the price in full, but He also pays the freight for us to get from this life to the next. As He promised us, our sins are forgiven. He also goes ahead to prepare a place for us in heaven. And from there, He says, I'll come and receive you once again. Wow! A real all-inclusive. Drinks included, for us to sit at the banquet table in heaven forever in the presence of God Almighty. That's what Jesus has done for you. That's what He's done for me. And that's why we respond with thankfulness out of a heart that says, Lord, You've touched me. I beg for you the opportunity. Franklin Graham said of his father, Reverend Billy Graham, who recently passed away, he said, my daddy spent his entire lifetime preparing for his eternal life, and now he's enjoying the privilege of living there with Jesus. What a powerful statement. I borrow from Franklin's words and speak directly to you, directly to your heart. I want for you to make use of this opportunity to give in response to God's love for you. Your giving will not guarantee you a better seat in heaven, but it might just help ensure that someone else that you know will be sitting there next to you. Your generosity, given from a heart motivated and touched by God, will also touch your heart, change your life, and your perspective on life. As I shared with you last week, it really did touch and change my life. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty God, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Lord and Savior Jesus, we indeed do give you thanks for your ascension on this day. We mark that blessed event where you were raised from this life out of the grave, and later, and many days later, you were able to be raised into the heavenly realm and to be seated at the right hand of God the Father, where with power and might you judge the heavens and the earth. That every knee and every tongue shall bow at the name of Jesus, that one day upon your return. O Lord and Savior, here in this bread and wine with this cup, your body and blood are present as the one victorious over sin, death, and damnation. For that we give you thanks. O Lord and Savior, we pray also that you bless our church, our school, and the ministry that's done from this place. May you bless and stir up in our hearts a rich generosity of love that exudes and comes out of each and every one of us as your children. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers that have been requested this day.
Heavenly Father, the congregation lifts the following names to you with prayers of supplication, of prayers of thanksgiving and praise as well. We pray for Jonathan, for prayer of praise for successful surgery and excellent outcome also on his medical exams. Pray for Rocky for a successful knee surgery this week. And we pray for his healing as well. We pray for Patrick, the brother of the member Patricia McCall. Prayers of healing for Patrick, who is hospitalized in Atlanta for various internal conditions, and also for strength for his recovery. We pray for Tom for strength and guidance through a difficult time that he's experiencing. We pray for Gloria for comfort in her physical sufferings as she's become bedridden and totally dependent on others. We pray for strengthening of Gloria. We pray for those in our armed services, especially today. We pray for Quinn serving in the Navy. Keep him safe as he serves our country. And we pray for all the confirmands this year, and especially we give thanks for Zachary and Brandon. And we thank you, Father, that you call our young people to saving faith. In your mercy.
With Pastor Glander, and we thank you for his service since 2004. We are thankful also that Pastor Mylon Wirtz has been willing to step forward and accept our call for him to serve in this capacity. Lord, in your mercy, we now, O Lord, join in that prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The same night in which our Lord and Savior Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had broken it, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you." Likewise, in the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you eat and drink this, do it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Desiree and my family will commune with me at the last, hopefully. We're going to try to. Take and eat the true body of Christ. bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to just simply say a couple of these announcements. First of all, Pastor Glander, thank you for your service with us. You and Janice, we thank you. Since 2004, you've been serving very faithfully. And there's a little bit of a celebration right after this in Loggia 1. So please just go out this door and follow the Glanders and have some cake and a reception with them and to celebrate his ministry. Thank you, Pastor. Also, Leadership Council seeking some nominations. Speak with me or Greg Yeoman. Wave your hand. And one of the other of us can also help take those names, or you can submit them online. Servant Saturday is next couple weeks from now, May 19th. Saturday, May 19th, it's a day before Clay's wedding, so I'm sure you'll want to be there. And as a result, we're going to be training some folks on how to reach out to the homeless. And the Central Florida Commission on Homeless and Hope Team providing some training for us. So please be there, and if you'd like to find out more, look at the Trinity Weekly or go online and look at it there. VBS is 6 weeks from now, and it will be held all over our campus, and it will be transformed into an island where children attending a shipwreck VBS theme learn how Jesus is always with us. We anticipate that over 100 children will be here, and there are still things that we need to help them sing, celebrate, and learn every day. Registration, while it's open now, we do need adults and teens in the following areas. 12 more crew leaders who will lead the children from station to station and engage with them as they experience each learning station. 2 kid vid cinema leaders who will show a video each day that it depicts a child who has lived and been rescued by Jesus. His love and help, children apply biblical truths. A decorating team joined Jen Blackwood's team to help transform our campus into a tropical oasis. Some decorations will be made ahead of time, but the actual decorating will take place mostly on June 16th and 17th. More also for the snack team. Assist Peggy Trapp in the fellowship hall as she guides children through making themed snacks and applying biblical truths. And finally, VBS supply donations. There's a board back in the narthex with tags that you can pull and say, I want to support our VBS by offering to donate this item. These donations will be collected in a basket that's already there, and if you can just bring your donated items, place them in that basket, and we'll take them away. Thank you for making VBS a possibility, and Julia Malenke is our lead VBS person. Thank you, Julia. I have a special message from our choir person. But as he's coming up, I'm going to say, check the National Day of Prayer that's out in the back, and you'll see there red, white, and blue tags. Simply write down a prayer for whoever you would like in our government, or if you have any personal prayer requests, simply jot those down. We'll join those in looping them and then stapling them together and joining all of the schools that they've been collecting throughout this week. So thank you. Paul?
Hi, good morning. I'm Paul, and I'm a choir person, as Pastor said. I'm here today to invite you guys to join us for Make a More Joyful Noise Sunday. It's going to be Sunday, June the 3rd. In Psalm 100, David writes, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." And the parish choir is inviting you to do just that. Come help us make a joyful noise for one Sunday only. You can sing with us for either the 8 a.m. service or the 11 o'clock service. You don't have to have a great singing voice. You just have to have a joyful heart and help us make a joyful noise. Greg and Darty Yaman and Tony and Carmen Ramirez have already signed up. Please join them. We've chosen special music for that day. It'll be easy to learn and fun to sing. We're going to have just one rehearsal. It'll be on the Wednesday night prior on May 30th at 7:30 p.m. up in the choir loft. If you can't make the Wednesday rehearsal, it's okay. You can come Sunday morning at 7:30 to warm up and rehearse for the 8 o'clock service or at 10:30 to warm up and sing with the 11 o'clock service. There's going to be a choir member both in the narthex and at the side door with information, as well as with a sign-up sheet if you're interested. Please come help us make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And thanks, Carmen, Tony, Darty, and Greg for joining us that Sunday.
Before you get away, can we thank our choir, our organist, and all of our musicians, bell choir, and everybody for what a wonderful job. God's blessings. Please join us in our final hymn. Serve the Lord with joy.